Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show once again. Today's Tuesday, March 7th. I don't know why I always have the urge to give the date.
Yeah.
Because I never like go back and I say, well, I needed to know the date
like,
for that
if
show.
If only you had known it was March 7th.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you already know when you go to the archives and you download it and stuff what date it is. But it's nice because you sort of like timestamp it.
Sure.
In a way, you know?
You know what?
And besides, it's how I always started the show. So.
Let's start again. Ready?
Exactly.
It's March 7th. Woo!
There you go. You know? And it is a Tuesday. And since we do a show every day, I think the date is important. So there you go.
Thank you.
If you have any complaints, please lodge them. Well, how are you, Tori?
I'm doing well.
Yes?
Yes.
You enjoying this beautiful morning out there?
Yeah, nice. I went through the canyon. Gorgeous day.
Nice. Yeah. Do you go hiking sometimes, too?
I say I do. I don't really very much often.
In L.A., everybody says they hike.
Yeah, like, I don't do runyon either. I used to do it more, and I did like it. I'm just... I don't get that, like, high that everyone talks about.
I know, because they go out there to be seen, you know?
Yeah.
To see and be seen.
Or the runner's high I don't have never gotten.
Right.
I've tried running,
exercise. No,
the
running,
endorphins never seem to...
Running never worked for me.
No.
You know, some fun sports maybe, like swimming, you know. Even walking is okay, but no, running, forget about it.
Where are you going?
It.
Slow down.
I know, and people love running, so I don't get it. I mean, a marathon? Come on.
How about those, the ones that go forever and ever, the Ironman.
Steps, they go 20 miles?
God. I mean,
what is that?
Today I literally went outside. I'm like, maybe I should climb the stairs to work. Nope. Just decided I should walk to the elevator.
Yeah. But it's really not that bad. Once a day, it's not bad.
I know. Don't say that. Yeah. I know. Now I'm like, damn it.
No, I should do it too. I mean, I remember when the elevator was out for three, four weeks.
Yeah, it was great.
I was going up the stairs probably 8 to 10 times a day. And my legs were like a rock.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going, I should do this more often.
And I bet you, like, I don't know, I bet you had some good thoughts on those walks.
I did.
Yeah.
No, not walks, going up the
stairs.
No,
I know, I mean, I bet, you know.
Oh, you mean up the stairs.
Yeah, because in the elevator.
Yeah, all I thought about
out.
Is, God damn it, why aren't they fixing the elevator already?
maybe not. Maybe thinking. Stairway to hell.
Right. But, you know, the funny thing is a lot of people would come up here more huffing and puffing than me. And I'm a smoker, so I felt okay.
You felt better about yourself.
Yeah.
It's a way to test you. Yeah, way to make yourself
feel
better.
Exactly. Like, I last a few more years to kill myself.
You should just put out of order sign on the elevator. Make yourself feel better.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday and the day before, actually, I got into the lobby. The door closed.
And it wouldn't do anything?
No.
Me too.
Really? It happened to you?
And do you immediately think you're going to die?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, immediately.
And then you press all the buttons and the doors reopen.
Right.
And then it says you're going up.
That's right.
And it's fine.
And then nothing
happened. So you
stayed. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Like an idiot. I'm like, well, it has to work the second or third time.
Especially when it says going up, because I guess the first time it doesn't say it, so it sort of got stuck. So yesterday, it finally got stuck, so they fixed it.
Oh, thank God.
So you're safe now.
God.
I know. Elevator stories, you know? I mean, when we started the station, we were on the 36th floor on top of the world.
Mm.
And downtown, hold on, there's a phone call. Let's see who that is. I doubt that we have anybody planned, but let's see. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead. Of course. It seemed like a main number, like a 9100. I figured it's probably like a business or something, so it's probably bullshit.
Mm.
Yeah, people just call in and waste your time. You see why I don't answer calls?
We were so happy 2 seconds ago.
I don't care about the calls. I never do. You know? I mean, sometimes I'm like, okay, so someone's calling, but, you know, unless I recognize the number, not so much.
Okay.
But at any rate, we were at the point where I was on the 36th floor, and then one on a Sunday when there's really nobody in the building except the security downstairs, I got stuck in the express zone where there's no doors, too. You know?
Wow. So what'd you do?
So, well, I called on the phone. They answered right away. The elevator phone.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we see where you are, blah, blah, blah. We'll get this. I don't know. Apparently somebody pressed the wrong button or something, because I overheard the security guard say something. So at any rate, And they're not coming. I mean, I'm sitting there. I had my laptop. I sat on my laptop for a while. Couldn't really do much. I didn't have a cell phone. So finally I said, you know what? I'm calling the fire department. I called 911. I said, look, I'm stuck here. Already been half an hour. You know, come get me. So in the
half an hour. I was wondering how long. That's a good amount of time to wait.
Seemed,
that's a lot.
It seemed like half an hour.
No, it could have been 2 minutes. No,
it was half an hour at least. But I don't know what the hell was happening. So finally the elevator started moving. I get downstairs and the fire department's already there. But they'd already released
the elevator.
Do you
say anything or do you just walk straight out the elevator?
I'm straight out. I'm like...
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, what are you going to say? Yeah. You know?
Oops.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that's scary. I mean, some people would have freaked out completely.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, people have it. The fear of the elevator is very like...
It is.
It's a Jungian archetypal fear of like being stuck in Nowheresville.
It really is.
That's why
even
I don't really... Yeah.
Claustrophobic. You
right,
know?
Right. Still, and it's just you don't know where you are. You can't get out. You don't... Right. Yeah, it's very scary.
You're trapped. About a couple weeks ago, it actually got stuck with me and
one
of our
hosts. Never going to take this elevator
right?
again.
But it happens to me more than anybody else. So don't worry about it. I don't panic. And besides, look, you press the button right away, somebody answers. And, you know, and they tell you right away, we'll get you.
But then you wait it.
No, this was not here, though.
I see.
Yeah,
okay, good.
It's not here. But a couple weeks ago, I was with one of our hosts, and she got scared when we got stuck. And I'm like, I don't know what floor we were on. So then we called, and we said we're stuck. And they're like, okay, hang on, blah, blah, blah. And in the meantime, I'm like trying to pry open the doors. And I did. And we're like halfway between.
Of course.
Like, you know,
you're in nowhere's
like
land.
You had to climb into, up to the floor.
Yeah.
But I couldn't open the other door. There's like two doors, right?
Yes.
And then, so finally I gave up on it. And then the elevator starts moving. And I'm going, can you imagine if it started moving?
Hey, Sam, this is why you don't open the door.
I know, and hang on the goddamn floor.
That's why you don't open. You wait for help.
It would have killed the
shit
out of
you. It would have killed the shit out of you. That's a great way of putting it. You're so eloquent.
I know, but I had to do something.
Yeah, no. You just want to kind of hang tight.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, save the damsel in distress kind of thing.
Yeah, bad idea.
Because I had no problem waiting there, you know?
Yeah, no.
But she was freaking out. She started calling. And
yeah, that's scary.
It is, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
But a building like this, people would hear you right away. It's not like you're in the middle of the night, you know, in a building. There's nobody there. But thankfully, today there's phones, too, you know. So you know you're not disconnected.
Yeah, sometimes, though, you don't get service in the elevator, and then you're really
That's true.
Then you can't get Candy Crush, and then you're really stuck. What am I doing with
this? Oh, God.
That's
no
not good.
Candy Crush.
No Candy Crush.
How many years have you been playing?
Whatever. Let's not talk about this part of my life. No, I'm
all
kidding.
Right. No, let me ask you this.
Yeah, no, I'm
so
kidding.
What's the goal in Candy Crush? What do you really...
Oh, God, that's such a good question. Okay, so it's different. It sounds so stupid. But they did, like, analyze this game, and it is psychologically, like, trained to give you dopamine. It is so addictive.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like heroin, they said.
Really?
It's so stupid. You go different levels, and certain candies crush other candies. And there really is. One of my friends reached, like, level 500 and said that was it.
Wow.
But first of all, I'm on, like, 263, and I've been there for, like, years.
Wow.
But, this is such a nerdy conversation. Anyway, I don't know if there is a goal. The goal is to finish, I guess. But
look, you like it. It's a mindless.
Yeah, it's mindless. But I don't know if there is an ending, because Candy Crush said there might not be an ending. I'm a little concerned that there is no goal.
Right. Okay,
it's
but
like life.
But
it's like life.
But while you're playing, the tactics is
to get to the next
crush,
level,
right? And to crush all the candy or something.
Yeah,
okay. Like a Pac-Man type.
Very
of thing,
similar to Pac-Man.
Or like Tetris,
and it makes like fun like graphic, like little bouncy thing. I mean, it's just, it's tactile. It's like
a
child.
Listen, I have
like
to respect it because a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
It's obviously very popular.
So,
I respect it, if nothing else.
Well, whoever,
but you know what? I think all these games are addictive. I mean, last night I caught myself, it's like, no, I got to play one more game of Words with Friends and one more until I finish all of them. And
it's all a dopamine thing.
Yeah. You know, it really is.
It's almost like right into the addiction tract. And they came up with like Angry Birds. People were just like obsessed with Angry Birds.
Like, I don't get that.
Yeah. Part. So it's like, it hits the right dopamine synapses in your brain, and you're addicted, man. Yeah.
Wow.
So interesting.
I mean, God, those screens are killing us, man.
I know. I just reach as I reach for my screen.
Right. And me too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we do, you know. I remember you'd come into an office, you'd open up your bag, your briefcase, whatever, take out your documents, have a pen, have a calculator, sit down and work. Or tools or whatever.
Now you look like a jackass.
Yeah, today you walk in, you sit in front of a computer.
Yeah,
that's about it.
That's it. Well, it's streamlined.
Yeah, it is, right?
It is streamlined.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what the future is holding, man.
No, weird stuff happening.
I mean, think about it. Like computer monitors, I'm looking at it now. It's an old technology, you know? I mean, shit, we've had computer monitors unchanged, just higher resolution.
Yeah.
But it's not really the way we, I mean, now we have touch screens, so we interact with it and stuff. But still, I mean, you know,
but you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Day,
the wheel.
No, but one day you'll see. I mean, we reinvented a lot of things when you think about it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot like that. I really think Minority Report is what it's going to look like.
I really
where you touch
so.
It in the air, you know? It's very, I was all like, oh, now that's what it might be. Yeah, Minority Report was very good in sort of predicting that futuristic. And even like arresting people before they were
commit the crime,
which is like somewhat Trumpian, being like, he wiretapped me. There's no evidence, but I'm still going to make him guilty. It's
right.
Like, weird. It's
I know. It's like you arrest people just for thought.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's right. So it's really fascinating.
I know. God, who knows what's going to happen?
I know.
Wow.
Well, Ben Carson said some really interesting things.
Yes, I heard. Go ahead and sum it up for us. For those of you who didn't hear, and Ben Carson is now the head of what?
Housing and Urban Development.
Okay, so that's HUD. And he was talking yesterday to a crowd of people. And what did he say, Tori?
I don't know if this guy's a surgeon, dude. I'm starting to think he might not be even gone to medical school.
Where's the brains? I mean, some of the things he says.
So if you guys don't know, he said some really outlandish things, and including like the pyramids being used for wheat and grain storage because of certain vacuum sealed work of the pyramids. He's got a lot of weird theories. Okay,
right.
And one of them last night, I guess he thought was what everyone thought is he said, you know, the Africans who came in the slave ships were immigrants trying to get their sons, grandsons, and daughters a better prosperity for their life and future in this land.
Right.
And no, that's just not what happened. They were slaves. Right. And they were enslaved, and they were captured.
Like consensual or anything.
No.
Like that.
I mean, and this is, it's just so, so blatantly, outrageously, disgustingly stupid.
So it's
stupid.
Not like they came here for their dreams.
He's
like
saying
he's
that.
Describing
he's
other people.
Exactly. He must have, I don't know. What he's thinking. And Samuel L. Jackson had the best response. He just goes, motherfucker, please. He was like, I can't even believe this shit. I mean, it just makes zero sense. I don't think any Republican, even the hardest core, would think slaves came here for a better life.
Like by choice.
Yeah, you know? It's so bizarre, his theories, that I question his sanity. I question a lot of things.
This whole fucking administration,
it's
man.
It's a mess, man.
Wow. I mean, just one sign is this, okay? And I mean, I check out CNN.com every day for years. And the whole top part of the screen is all about Donald Trump and his administration and what's going on with him. It's never been like this ever.
And it's never been so fast. Like, we're still within the first 2 months of like the presidency. We're at 42 days or something, 43 days, and you're seeing just like catastrophe after catastrophe. And, you know, people say, though, that he's very good at diverting. So, like, I'm being wiretapped now we're talking about that instead of the Russia thing.
Right.
So, in some respects, he's good at dangling a keychain over here and robbing your car over there. Mm. He's really good at this. But it's, you know, even Mike Pence can't. They asked him about the wiretapping, and he's like, I don't have any evidence. I still don't see any evidence. I mean, no one can say this is not cray cray. So,
right. And they all have to. I just think a lot of people are going to continually drop from his administration because, I mean, you can only back up someone like that so far.
Right. There's like five people out of like the main 11 that have now confirmed been in talks with the Russians before. During the campaign, and you know that's a lot of mistaken. That's more than half almost. So, it's an interesting thing going on. There's a lot when there's smoke, there's fire, and I think he's trying to divert that.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. Yeah, but Ben Carson's like this cray cray. This thing about slavery was just out of nowhere. So you just think you think of the chaos presidency for Trump, and you think the people around him are so chaotic too.
It seems like it.
You know what I mean? They always keep stepping in it.
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
very strange.
Yeah, well, that's why Ben Carson didn't win. Not even close. as far as the primaries.
No, but I, then why have him as part
of... He's got such a great temperament, though, you know? I mean, I kind of like that he's
I think he's so sleepy and scary.
He is sleepy.
Scares me, man.
But I like it because it's sort of like he seems like he's smart. I don't know why. He seemed to me like he was smart at the time.
Like,
now I just can't go with this.
No, and there was an interview that was happening. I swear to God, he's on the street talking to the press, and he had just landed. He's in a suit. He's speaking articulately, just like you're saying. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of the interview, he goes, and that's why, oh, my luggage. And he like runs off into the distance. And you're like,
he does seem like he's on something,
he's
right?
He's very spacey.
Yeah,
and I don't know if I want that spaciness as an adjective for my neurosurgeon. No, do you know what I mean? I want like maybe alert, caffeinated, hyperactively, you know,
so?
Like
precise.
Right.
He seems, surgeon does have to be patient, though, no?
No, you're absolutely right. But I don't want him like falling asleep. I don't know. He's just some, I don't understand where he's getting some of these ideas.
Right.
I mean, he's real cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yeah. Really. And this is just a cray-cray one.
Oh, wow.
So people just keep stepping on in it. But breaking news, WikiLeaks. Did you hear about this?
The WikiLeaks, well, which one?
The big one just came out like 5 minutes ago. They released a trove of alleged CIA hacking documents. This happened like an hour ago, that says the CIA was definitely hacking into certain apps and our smartphones. So they're releasing a trove of information letting us know how far they went. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. WikiLeaks. Like we didn't know, right?
Yeah, right, right. I was like, I think we had a hint.
Yeah. We all pretty much
but they're saying apps like WhatsApp, which a lot of people use if you're over abroad, your family's abroad, use WhatsApp for texting. They said they had found a way to cut into that and listen.
Wow.
So, yeah. So interesting.
Well, yeah, be careful what you say.
Yeah.
You know, I guess a lot of people, they're probably going to release a lot of sexual texts and stuff, I would imagine.
I don't know. Yeah.
But who knows what, you know? But the thing is, yeah, that WikiLeaks thing, man, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
They get a lot of shit out there.
Yeah.
But, I'm getting ready to start my book, my new book, on cyber security.
Ooh, that's
because
good.
It's really scaring me. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Really is.
I know. And, you know, North Korea just dumped 4 missiles into the sea.
Yes.
And the U.S. is now, you know, sort of starting to arm in South Korea. They have some artillery that they're starting to, like, prepare.
Yeah.
And you're like, the cyber thing is, I mean, you start to feel on the edge at all times.
Right.
I mean, right? You don't feel safe.
Yeah. But, you know, you also have to thank our enemies for all that. You know, I mean, the thing is that North Korea is a very isolated, obviously, and paranoid country, you know. So we have to keep it at bay, you know. We have to contain it. The question is, can you? We can't contain North Korea. But to a point we have, you know. I mean, if they haven't bombed us yet...
Well, that's the problem. We have, and then all of a sudden, in the past 2 weeks, they've seen an incredible uptick in activity.
Right.
Incredible.
But maybe because they've progressed a lot. Maybe they... I don't know. And besides...
You don't want to see a flurry of activity with that. Not only did they announce they had certain chemicals, they just announced they had almost IC missile range, which can go all the way across continents. And now they just yesterday put 4 missiles in the sea. So these are all patterns of starting to do something.
Right. But they've been developing this for decades.
Yeah. And it's like putting a match to putting some gasoline on the fire is what happens.
That's true.
And then it escalates. Yeah.
It's really dangerous still right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, you know. But I mean, look, ever since the Korean War, it's always been like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's always been a lot of tension in that area. And, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, because as long as North Korea feels paranoid, like Iran in a way, I think they're going to continue this arms race.
It's just a military,
because they're afraid they're going to be destroyed.
You know? And I think that, you know, North Korea, as long as they're isolationists, as long as they're far away from the world, they don't even have internet. As long as they are away from themselves, there's no communication with the world. There's no way we can, you know, make communication and become ally. There's no way.
Right.
But what's scary is now they can reach us, which is scary.
Right.
It didn't used to have missiles that could be intercontinental.
That's
and
true.
Now, for the first
so
time,
they have, like,
to New York, they
ICBMs
can reach me. Correct.
Now. Wow.
That's what the escalation is feeling. That's what's so scary. And, you know, it's funny, like, he has these Muslim bans on certain countries, which don't actually reach a lot of the countries where, like, 9/11 happened. Like, it doesn't reach Saudi Arabia and a lot of those. And what's interesting is, are you then making us safer, or are you now pricking the bear and kicking the bear? And now they are going to be more problems because they're upset there is a ban. So it's like, you never, it's just putting gas on the fire, a lot of people think.
Right, right. But at the same time, you also have to sort of respond and react to what your enemy does, you know.
Right.
So,
but who's your real enemy? None of this six. It was like 1/115 of the terrorist activities came from these six countries. They're,
no, but we were talking about isolated countries, weren't we? Like about Iran and Korea and stuff. I mean, they put us constantly under defense.
Oh, yeah. You have to play. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to be. It's like playing with. North Korea, you don't play with North Korea. They just. Right. Yeah. So,
but you have to. And I think what maintains the peace is the balance of power, you know, and that's the thing. Look, if they had what we have, they would have bombed us a long time ago. The thing is that the balance is created, though we have more than they do, the balance is because we're not atomic nuclear aggressors, let's say. We're not going to use that as like the first option where they would. You know, so there's a balance there, you know, and that's exactly the same thing with in the Middle East, for
example. Right, I was going to say, it's just like the Middle East, and it's so
if
much
Israel
of
Israel didn't have a bomb right now, it wouldn't exist.
So,
it's for like, just to keep people from bombing it in the first place.
Right, like just having it, a deterrent. But it's so interesting of like how tightrope and very fragile those tanglements are. And that's why I'm so worried about like sanding like Jared Kushner or people that don't have a long history of knowing. You have to know that land and that background in order to speak a negotiation.
Right.
You can't just be this 30-year-old that.
Right, but you know what? Neither have.
Yeah, right. No, you're
like
right. You're right.
And stuff. Okay,
you're absolutely right. But I worry that there will become problems because they don't know the background. And that's such a deeply ancient web that you have to know about.
That's a sound concern. You know, and we'll see.
But you're right.
There.
But I mean, we came close with, but then it did dissolve. So you're absolutely right. It's not that it's worked before. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying that there's got to be a balance, or when there's no balance, there's going to be war.
Right.
You know, and that's what I'm saying again. So you might say, okay, well, Israel has a bomb, other countries don't, so there's no balance. But there is, because Israel is not a nuclear aggressor. If those other countries had the bomb, there wouldn't be that balance anymore. So that's the whole point, you know. And if you remember early 80s, Israel bombed the Iraqi nuclear reactor, and people were saying, were screaming, and why are you doing this and this? And it was all preventative. And then later we found out that when Saddam was there, it was a good thing he didn't have nuclear capability. So sometimes you have to really...
It's also delicate.
Preempt.
What you're saying again, it's the balance has to be so delicate. And what I worry about is having like the Trump temper in a delicate situation because it is so balanced. You're right. It's all about perfect balance, and you have to keep
like
that balance. And he doesn't have any balance.
It's like you don't want to even attempt to put him next to the bus.
You just don't. Yeah, he's a bull in a China shop. It's just so scary to think what his temper or tweet could possibly do to that balance.
Yeah.
So that's what scares me.
I just think he's not convinced he won yet.
I don't think so either. He's still going after Obama. I mean, then Clinton and he, like the thing with the wiretapping, it's like, it again, the thing of like he was born in Africa. There's no evidence, and yet you're obsessed with it. And he's obsessed with this weird wiretapping, and there's no evidence. It's very weird.
I know.
You won, dude. You won. Run the country. Mm. Very strange.
I know. Well, strange man. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a tangled web we weave.
I know. Did you see this plagiarism by the White House of the ExxonMobil?
Yeah. By the way,
word by word, it's not even plagiarism.
No, a full paragraph. Yeah. Now, what was it for? It was a press release, or what was it?
I actually didn't even open this up too much, but let me just catch up on it real quick.
And you know who runs ExxonMobil?
Yeah, they're attempting to show that the oil giant is a big deal and stuff.
I see.
So they started describing it and
like a whole paragraph.
Yeah, putting it in a good light, you know, and then you're looking at it and it says it's word for word.
Yeah. Well, you know who runs ExxonMobil is Rex Tillerson, our new Secretary of State.
Right.
So why not?
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
He brought his homework with you.
He sure did.
To the new office.
Copy and paste, baby.
Yeah. I know. So yeah.
And now the Sean Spicer, remember I told you how I watch the Sean Spicer press briefings after the show every day?
Yes.
And they're getting more ratings than soap operas during daytime?
Right.
He has asked the cameras no longer to be present.
What?
So now it's just audio, and no one's really playing it anywhere because where are you going to listen to it? So PBS is doing it live, and they're doing subtitles, so you can read it, and you can also listen to it on PBS. And it's everyone.
You can't be serious.
I swear to God.
So there's not going to be any more televised press conferences?
It hasn't been for the past 3 days. I don't know what's going to be in the future, but like even April, one of the reporters was like, are we not going to have the cameras back? Like, you got to see, the American people want to see what's going on. And he was like, you know, this is just temporary. We're going to just see how this goes. And, it, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So he's taking those cameras down.
I know.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I think Casey's calling us. Casey, how you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good.
What's up, man?
Just enjoying your conversation.
Yes. Covering the world like we do.
Yeah, it's an interesting Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you think of Carson, Boo?
He already posted about this. What do you think?
Oh, you did?
I just think he's on some stuff. I don't. Right? I agree with you. Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are both right. He's such a calm, you seem like he's such a reserved, like he'd be such a thoughtful person. But then he goes, my luggage, and he's chasing his luggage.
Yeah, that was so funny. If you see that clip, you got to Google it.
There's a moment where you're just like, is he off his meds?
Yeah.
What happened?
Right. And I don't want that in my surgeon, to be wondering if he needs medication. That's always nerve-wracking.
In some ways, this is going to come off wrong, but I just feel like Trump's people around him are not giving him a chance. I don't think he put too much thought into his cabinet because it seems like.
Yeah. I don't think.
Well,
he,
maybe.
I don't think, Casey, he puts a lot of thought into really anything. Because when he really runs on impulse.
And he reacts.
He reacts. So it's all impulsive. Yeah. So the tweets come in 4 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. They're just impulsive. He doesn't ever stop and think long game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When my roommate said something funny, he was like, it's just like the greatest soap opera that's on TV.
But it's real.
You're just so in tune. And you can't believe what's going on, you know. Like, Monday mornings, I'm just excited. What's Trump going to tweet?
See, I'm so not excited. I'm just terrified. I got to get too excited. I'm not happy. I'm terrified.
I know. Look,
are you terrified?
Yeah, because if he takes away, let's say, Planned Parenthood or something, that's a big deal in my friend group right now. They're all like reproductive and they go to Planned Parenthood. A lot of them don't have a gazillion dollars and they use that. And that's really effective. Personally affects me. You know what I mean? It's scary.
I don't think can he do that?
Yeah.
Can he really take away Planned Parenthood?
Yeah. You can defund Planned Parenthood with a majority in Congress. You absolutely can.
Yeah. With a majority in Congress.
It's just
unless he comes up with an executive order again,
right.
He can't do that, can he?
He can, but it doesn't mean anything, really. An executive order just means I'm planning on doing something.
Right.
It then depends on whether it does anything. So you do need Congress to defund Planned Parenthood. And then I worry about wars, because I think he really wants to start one. I think a war president is always more popular. People listen to him. They follow him. That's what he wants. And I think he wants to use the Navy.
To be seen as a leader.
Absolutely.
I feel like he's in a contest with Putin. Like, ooh, who can buy the best toys? I don't think. I just think that he just is going. It's like it's almost like a big dick contest. I think him and Putin are just like, I can get more submarines. And Trump is like, you want to bet? I can make more submarines. So I don't know.
I think
he wants to increase the military.
But he really does.
For what?
Exactly. Also, we're like the most militarized in the whole world. But I what's interesting to me is he never puts Putin down. He always puts everyone down. So you know Putin's
got something on
him. You always see him positive. I hope we get along together. That is just not Trump's style. So for some reason, there is something that he has on him. I'm convinced the P-tape is real. I'm convinced. So we'll see.
On a lighter note.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what the number one podcast in America is right now?
Missing Richard Simmons, which is super good.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
Someone posted something
about
Richard Simmons.
On this morning, they said that one of Richard Simmons' friends said he goes to his house and his housekeeper keeps him
That's a theory.
Where did I see that?
This is a theory. My good friend is his, like, Richard Simmons' really good friend. He was just interviewed on ABC and during the interview. His name's Dave Garcia, and you guys should look him up. He lost 600 pounds with Richard Simmons. If you guys don't know the story, about 2 years ago, Richard Simmons, who was always on and doing press and doing Slimmins, where he would actually do the workouts every morning, dropped off the face of the earth. And my friend started a blog, and the blog got picked up by people saying, I can't find him. And theory started to come out saying he was being held captive by housekeepers. But then he would sort of re-come out and say, I'm okay. But he wouldn't show his face. And people thought maybe he gained weight or there was something wrong with his knee. There was a knee injury involved. And so what they've done is created this web podcast, as Casey was saying. And it's phenomenal. And it's number one podcast. So it's called Missing Richard Simmons. And it's about where the heck he
Missing
is.
Missing Richard Simmons.
Yeah. It's no one really knows.
I'm going to have to listen to it.
It's great.
Me how people get popular.
So that's your friend, huh?
Yeah, my friend is one of the first people to bring up the fact that he couldn't get back in touch with him, and his blog was, and he's being interviewed all over. His name's David Garcia, and man, it's he lost about, I think it was four to 500 pounds, and man, it was, he's like, something's gone wrong, because this guy was always out. You could never not meet him. And in 2013, Richard Simmons drove past me and my husband and sat in a car, and he was in the back seat with a lot of angry people around him, and he said, you should really be holding her hand, she's so beautiful. And I asked for a picture, and he took it, and that was like one of the last times I think anyone saw it. I'm like, was I the one who, no, but it was around that time he disappeared.
Yeah, I did see him once at the airport. He was at the gate with me. He was on the same flight and stuff. And he's just
very
like,
kind.
He's like a little girl, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's very flamboyant. Yeah. Very flamboyant.
Well, not a woman. He's like a little girl, the way he talks, the way he behaves.
Yeah, he's little, that's his whole brand.
He gets emotional.
He's a little femme,
Yeah, but he's amazing at long-term friendships.
Guy.
Yeah, he's really helped so many people lose huge amounts of weight. And it's weird that he used to be on Dave Letterman, and remember, he would fly in. And
people, Howard Stern.
Yes, Howard Stern. And now he's just gone.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's happening, but it's kind of a cool mystery. It's for cereal.
All right, guys. I have to go again.
Bye, Casey.
Bye, Casey.
You guys have a good one.
Bye. Yeah, interesting.
So, yeah, Richard Simmons. There you go.
Where in the world?
Yeah, and in related news or not, Alec Baldwin says he might give up his Trump impression.
Yeah, do you know why?
Why?
Because he thinks Trump is like too malicious to be making, like, we shouldn't normalize it anymore. It's too real. Like, it's too scary.
Is that what he said? That's not what I read, though, Tori.
Read it.
Say it again.
He feels that the maliciousness.
Oh, yeah, his policy is what you can hate.
Yeah.
No, but look what he said. Okay, he says the maliciousness of the White House has people worried. Okay, but there's like an ellipsis, so maybe there's something missing there. He says that's why I'm not I'm not doing it much longer. The impersonation, I don't know how much more. Okay, I'm looking at it from the wrong side, so I can't read the freaking thing. Okay, but essentially he says what you said.
Yeah. One for Tori. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I do see maliciousness.
But you know what's very funny is he was on Kimmel and they said, did you have a planned impersonation of Trump or did what happened? And he said, Lauren called me and said, do you want to do Trump? And he said, no. And Tina Fey and Lauren said, you got to do it. And so he had no idea what he was going to do. They put the wig on and he's in hair and makeup. And all he was doing like was this. He just kept saying, China, 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 over and over again. He said, and that's how he created it.
Wow.
He just says, and he's like, he says, all I do in the impersonation, if you watch, is he wants to find a better word, and he can never, never find the better word. So he's always like, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be very fantastic. So he's great. He's a good impersonator.
Yeah. I just thought, I guess I was under the impression because he says, I don't know how much more people can take it.
I know you
I thought he meant about
like
his
it.
Act.
Right. No. No,
he meant the maliciousness.
No, yes. Okay. He meant it's not like funny to impersonate someone bad.
But besides, you know what? I got to tell you, I hate his impersonation. It makes Alec look like shit. It really distorts his face.
It's supposed
and
to.
I don't think, but he doesn't talk like Trump, you know?
I think it's a caricature.
With that China thing, okay. So sometimes he sounds like Trump.
Well, I think he sounds like
but
Trump.
But it is a caricature. It's too much. It's not like doing the exact one.
Well, no. I think he's meant to be a caricature.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's meant to be.
It is.
Like Will Ferrell didn't really play George W. Bush like to like perfect mimicry, but he just got the idea of him.
Right.
So it
and
is like
exaggerate
a
character. The funny things about.
Yeah, him. That's what. And I think he does get his verbal paraphrasing right when he's trying to find a word and stuff. And I think he's exaggerating, but you know I think he sounds like him, but yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I only could take a little bit of it, though, because I don't know. I didn't find it funny, but maybe it is. Maybe if you watch the whole thing, it's funny. I don't
know.
Yeah.
Humor is subjective, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So what else is going on? I mean, a lot is really going on. They found out that George Michael actually died from natural causes.
Yeah, I saw that.
So for those who don't remember, George Michael died, what, last month at the age of
53? Yeah, I thought it was, something.
Yeah, a month or two ago. And they're saying it was just liver and heart condition that he had.
So sad.
So I know. He's such an incredible person. And all I say is, you know, you never know when you're going to die.
Yeah.
That's why you got to enjoy every day. You don't know, because you're not assured that you're going to live like till 70, 80. You know, no. I mean, you could die before other people.
Oh, Lord. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No.
I mean, I agree.
I know I'm depressing you, but at the same time, it's supposed to be inspirational.
Yeah, what no, I'm I feel like you is, have to live in the present.
Yeah, we're putting things till tomorrow, putting them off till tomorrow. And I'm thinking, but I got to do it today. You know?
Yeah. There's a good, someone said this, that they were like, if you are really scared to do something, like you're really nervous, but you want to do it. Let's say like stand-up comedy was really nerve-wracking for me the first time, right?
Right.
So this is what you're supposed to, the practice is this. You close your eyes and you say to yourself, I'm 80 years old. I'm sitting in my garden. I don't know why I have a garden. I don't like to garden, but whatever. And I'm super rich and I have a super garden, right? And I say to myself, man, if I were only younger, I would have wished I could do a stand-up show. And then you open your eyes and you're suddenly back in time and you're yourself.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to give you that, the brain to switch. And you're like, I am going to do it. I don't know how easy that is, but it sounded good. It sounded super good, I thought. I thought, well, that's good. I could try that. Yeah, like if you're afraid to do something and you're like, well, pretend I've passed it up already. Now I have a second chance.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like I realize that the things that scare you most is probably the lesson you came here to learn.
Ugh.
You know
Buddhist,
what I'm saying?
Right there.
I mean, right? Because, yeah. I mean, the things that come easy to you, it's no big deal. You're not really learning anything.
Yeah, Pema says, my teacher says, when you're really at your worst and most depressed is when you learn the most, because right. You're actually invested in the answers. Mm-hmm. If you're just kind of happy-go-lucky, you're not going to be that invested. But something else that you said is really interesting. She says, and Buddhists say, you will never learn a lesson will never leave you unless you fully learn from it. So like I have a problem with the phone, right? I have a fear of the phone. I don't like picking the phone up when it rings. I don't like making calls. I have a really flipping hard time with it. Okay, it's like caused a lot of problems. Wow. Because it's become issues where I can't literally call someone back that's in my career would help me, and I can't do it. So the issue is I'm gonna still have this phone issue,
right,
until I learn the damned lesson. Wow. And I'm not, it doesn't go away. It keeps coming back. That's what happens. Until I learn to deal with this, it won't go away.
Right, exactly. Because it keeps coming back, because it's like...
It's unsettled.
It's a dragon in your path. Yeah, you have to slay it.
I know.
Keep going.
Or just become friends with the dragon.
Yeah, you know.
Become buddies with him. Make s'mores. The whole thing.
But you really have to analyze this. I mean, you do have fears. You do have some phobias.
This is a crazy one.
You know, and especially with the phone, because you do carry one around.
It impacts my... It has gotten me off
jobs.
But
I don't think it's about the phone. I think it's about social relationships.
I'm sure it's a social anxiety issue, and I've tried to talk to people
about
it.
Are you able to, like, read news on your phone?
Yeah, no, it's the talking.
It's the talking or the texting, right?
Texting is fine.
Texting is fine.
It's the talking.
Wow.
And so if someone calls and they're like, you have an audition, or my manager wants to talk about publicity, I have, like, a hard time calling back.
Wow.
And that's like really detrimental to your career in every way.
I mean, is there like, are you expecting rejection or something?
I'm expecting whoever is on the other line. I went to therapy for this and it didn't really help, but I could have done a little bit more work on it.
Well, we'll analyze
it. Yeah, let's do it here for free. I'm convinced the other person is going to tell me how what I've done is something terribly bad. I've caused a terrible thing, and they're very mad at me.
Really?
That's what I always picture. So, like, if you called, I'd be like, oh, my God, I burned down the studio somehow.
Yeah,
and
why he's calling
to let me know.
Me?
Yeah. Even if, and so now some people will text, I'm not mad, I'm just giving you a call. And I'm like, that sounded kind of funny. Maybe they are mad.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's a weird thing. And it's not like my parents were harsh or... It's not like I got in major trouble on the phone. I don't know. I have an emergency sense that I'm in real danger.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
It is. So, but not around. So, is this just with people you don't know?
Anybody, except for like basically my mom.
Your mom.
That's
and
it.
The closest.
But like
people.
Even my sister, I'll have a really hard time picking up the phone.
Really?
Or,
it's like, why is she calling me?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Maybe you're afraid to get bad news.
Well,
no?
My mom has always been very, very ill. And so, like, her health has been very, like, ridiculously up and down, catastrophe after catastrophe. And so you're right. Maybe I am worried that it's bad news and it's playing. I think that has something to do with it. But it's more a sense I'm in trouble.
Mm.
Like I've like almost like when you go to the principal's office when you're young, it's like that.
Mm. You must have had a trauma then with but something I, like I, with authority. Maybe
that's what my mom was like. But no yeah. one. One time I came home and told my mom I got in trouble, and she's like, "All right, whatever." Like she, no one yeah. was really
no. But maybe in the school or something.
But
maybe
I went to that hippy dippy school.
Really?
Yeah. My mascot was the grasshopper.
Right. But I mean,
we were very hippie.
When you were very young, you may have repressed it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's something I don't remember, but it is.
It's got to be, Tori, because maybe. I mean, where does it come from? But then again, you know what? Maybe not necessarily so, but I don't know.
Isn't it interesting?
It is.
I have no idea.
It sounds like OCD, too.
It does.
In a way, right?
There's a compulsive part of it that I cannot, yeah, that I can't get over.
Yeah.
And like, for instance, I used to not be able to go to like CVS. Remember I told
yes,
you this
you
thing?
Told me about
but
that.
Now, like with work and I'm a grand adult, like I love me some CVS.
Yes,
like I can
exactly.
spend hours
There's
there.
A lot of stuff.
It's
there.
The only thing I haven't gotten over is the phone.
Yeah. Well,
if you guys have
you
ideas, please call
no,
in.
No, that's what you got to deal with, Tori. I mean, like you said, it's going to keep back to haunt you.
And I keep thinking I've gotten rid of all the problems, and then another thing will happen where I have to learn the lesson all over again, and it just never goes away. And I know it won't go away until I've conquered that or become friends with that dragon. But I don't even like know how. Like what happens when the phone rings is I almost throw it like a bomb or grenade
right. wow.
across the room as if that'll save me.
But you got to work on it before the phone rings.
Correct.
That's what I'm saying. Obviously,
right.
you know, you're going to be, it's like you got to be prepared for like, okay, when the phone rings,
how do I
react?
Answer? So then,
how do I respond
right.
to that?
So my therapist and I worked on, we changed the ringtone so that instead of it being like, it's dun, 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 it's Indiana Jones, which is right. great because I love that. And that's supposed to get me to want to answer the phone. But now right. I'm like scared of Indiana Jones.
So what about vibrate? That won't work?
No, because that's even
body,
worse.
Right?
It's like, that makes me like something. I mean, that's worse.
Yeah, it makes
so,
you jump.
I've got to think of the right. What do I do the moment the phone rings? How do I then? I mean, I don't have. I kill
yeah,
you.
You have to have a plan.
It's almost
so
like
it doesn't
you,
surprise you,
right? But you couldn't even pay me to answer. Like if it's an unknown, you could not pay
yeah,
me.
Yeah, unknown. Okay, I understand.
But if it's like it could be a job. Like someone called me from Boston today, and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm in terrible trouble somehow in Boston. I have no relationships with Boston. And then it could be something, and I can't even check the voicemail.
Right.
I can't even check the voicemail.
Wow.
So what I do is I have someone else listen to it and tell me I am crazy.
You're afraid of bad news.
I think so.
I think that's what it is, you know.
And what's interesting is there's an app where it can write out your voicemail. Like it can write it out and that I can read.
Yeah.
But I can't hear it. It's the listening that's bad.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? So something yeah. must have been told to me, bad news or something. You're right.
Yeah,
by the phone. What if the phone just rang right now? Yeah. I'd be so scared.
Yeah. Well, just disable your phone function completely.
I know.
You know.
I wish that the phone wasn't a phone. It was everything else
right.
but the phone.
I know. Well,
ugh.
Yeah.
Do not disturb at all times. But I think a lot of millennials don't like phone. They like to text. But it's different with me. Mine's like a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Okay. Well, it's not the end of the world, though.
No.
Thank goodness there's texting for you now.
Sure.
You
but,
know?
You know, like my family doesn't texting to them is not the same as a phone call.
Right.
They're a little old school.
Right.
And my manager is a little old school and does not think it's the same. And I'm like, but can't we just email? And
right.
no. And
so
I,
let me ask you this. Yeah. What about if you call them when
they're going to pick up angry?
Oh,
because here you go. You ready for this crazy thing? I haven't called before because I waited too long because
right.
I thought they were angry.
Exactly.
So it's
now,
a circle.
So now you're afraid that
they're already angry for a real reason.
You, right.
And I've created a reason because I waited so long.
Right. Wow. Yeah, yeah. You so, you had the trauma, I'm telling
yeah.
you. And it's not funny when you
but
think
I, like,
about
I don't,
it.
I don't remember
when you were a child, it leaves such an impression.
Yeah.
It's like almost branding.
Yeah,
you,
it
you
had
know?
To have been. It had to have been. And I do. I got a lot of bad news from my mom because I always was the one of the family that moved away. I went to Italy, Michigan, New York, California. They all stayed.
That's another thing. You've
DC.
Been away.
I like to
always.
Away.
Yes.
And so I always do get phone calls being like, okay, she's in the hospital. The surgery didn't go well. This
right,
happened
right.
here. She had like ICU psychosis. I mean, she's had some really tough things. She has
well, that's enough to get you to be afraid
I know,
of
but
the phone. It may
Kate,
not
like
have
my
been
sister's, like no one else in the family. family is. They're all adults.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. So you have your own little...
Yeah, this is my quirk.
Quirks,
you know?
Exactly.
But I guess I wish I didn't, as you said, because it won't go away, because I haven't learned it, it does tend to interfere directly with my... I wish it could be a fear of, like, the color red, so I don't wear it, you know? But it's like, the phone is so in need for
communicating. And this is what I'm saying, though. I think the phone represents something that's deeper for you, and that's what you got to work on, you know? And that is your lesson. And you know what? If you don't learn it in this lifetime, you'll come back again, and you'll have to learn the same thing again. And it's not about the phone.
I know.
It's not about the phone.
I'm going to come back as a phone. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to come back as a phone. Or like in my past life, something bad happened on the phone. But who knows? Yeah.
Well, when if you come back in another life, you'd be coming back at what, like after the year 2100 or something?
I feel like there's no phone calls anymore.
Right, exactly.
That'd be
the
great.
Brain.
Yeah,
you know?
It'd be great.
Great?
Because then there's no phone.
I know. But so then they'll have to learn how to block people from prying into your brain.
Brain, yeah. That's crazy. What's funny, too, is my family didn't have a caller ID. So you know how when you got caller ID, like they still don't have it. So I never know... Like, who? I'm just like, hello? Like, that's crazy to me. But yeah, no, I know. It's going to get just in the brain and you blink your eyes and make a phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Minority Report.
I know. Actually, I've been reading books like that, and it's pretty cool, like fictional books.
Yeah, Black Mirror has stuff like that. If you watch... Oh, have you seen Black Mirror?
No. Is it like that?
Oh, that's what you should be watching next.
What's
Netflix
that on,
called Black Mirror on Netflix. It's like the biggest show ever. It's British, and it's about the future, but the near future and what absolutely could happen. And it's very real, and it's all about computers and robots and intelligence becoming too far into our world.
Okay,
it's,
I want to watch.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The first episode is crazy. If you guys have ever heard of it and you're listening, you might want to skip the first episode, but it's very interesting these days because it's about a politician having to do something on TV. But you might want to skip that first one because it's really weird.
Really?
But it's an excellent, excellent series.
So how do you skip the pilot though? I mean,
they're all different episodes.
Oh, they are.
Yep. And they're all directed and written by different ones. And for instance, John Hamm is in one.
Is that like the Twilight Zone?
Exactly
kind of thing?
Like the Twilight Zone. You will absolutely love it.
So you don't have to watch the first one if you don't.
No, I would. I think you might want to skip it, but you'll hear about it. But do listen, watch the rest of them.
I'm going to check it out.
Black Mirror. Yeah. It is very scary about how closely things are happening and how real it is to Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sounds Mark Wahlberg good. Bought the rights to one of them and he's making a movie about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a modern day Twilight Zone or something.
It is. I'm sorry. Robert Downey Jr. bought the rights, not Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
It is. It's known as the modern day Twilight Zone. John Hamm, Jessica Chastain, a lot of British actors are in it. And it's fantastic.
Oh, I gotta see it.
Yeah.
But I got to finish exploring Hulu first. I mean, for crying out loud, I don't have time to explore.
You got Golden Girls.
I just explored HBO. No, it's like Hulu. And I've been watching like Seinfeld a lot.
Yeah.
And,
if you want to get your brain, if you want to watch a TV show that's like the books you're reading, it's Black Mirror.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be like, Tori, I can't stop watching this.
Yeah, wow.
It's crazy.
I know. I've been looking for shows, and I'm thinking there's so many.
I know.
I know. You don't know what to watch.
I know. People
so
have to
go
weed
based
it out.
On recommendations.
You do. It's all oral. But Black Mirror, if you even look it up, it's like it's your show. It's Twilight Zone with computers.
All right.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Okay. I'm gonna look for
it. Good. Good.
But that means I have to subscribe to Netflix.
Oh.
No big deal.
No big deal.
$10. Right?
You will totally think it's worth it, and I'll pay you if you don't think it's worth it. I'll give you $10.
It's not the money, really. It's
I know.
Just the fact that I don't have time to watch. It overwhelms me. You know.
Yeah.
When I'm going, God, so much to watch. I'm not watching anything. I'm feeling guilty.
It's like you're at the pharmacy picking out a Band-Aid and there's 18 million different Band-Aids.
Right,
but just know that Black Mirror has episodes that are totally encapsulated. So you could sit down for only that 45 minutes or whatever long it is. It's not long. And just watch that and it's a beginning, middle, end. It's over.
Perfect.
So you'll love it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. All right. So that, a couple more things. Oh, I really wanted to discuss this. We didn't have much time because we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but I guess model Chrissy Teigen, did you hear about that?
She reveals
that
I read it last night at like 3 in the morning.
At 3 in the morning you read this?
Yeah.
What were you doing up at 3 in the morning?
I was reading a really good book, actually.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, I got really into this great mystery. No, she came out in Glamour, and she's on the cover, and she wrote an entire article about why the past three, four, 5 months, she's been completely depressed, sleeping on the couch, not moving, not getting out,
not eating at all,
and having terrible back pain and wrist pain. And they finally prescribed her as postpartum, and she's in getting antidepressants and therapy, which is finally starting to start to help.
Yeah.
But she had to put a book on hold. She had to stop filming. She really, things went way downhill.
Right.
And she said her husband, John Legend, would sleep with her on the couch every night. And she just said it was the worst she's ever felt. So really great and brave.
And it is a real thing. People don't understand.
One in nine women.
And apparently a woman that has this is also afraid that people might perceive her as dangerous to her baby.
Right.
And they're going to take it away. So they keep it inside.
Right. Because she said the only realization I had on postpartum was that woman who drove her kids in the bathtub.
Right.
And she's like, that's what my idea of that was.
Right.
And she's like, but I have to be the person now that you think of instead of that person.
Right.
Because it's real.
Exactly.
And I thought, wow, she's so brave.
How depressing, you know? I mean, sometimes I still get like, you know, although my life now is a straight line, you know, with my antidepressants and everything, but sometimes I don't know why it is like, especially lately in cold nights, I get depressed.
Oh, wow.
And I get like flashbacks of what it's like to be depressed.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know what? Let me just go to sleep, man. Wow. I don't want to deal with this.
Wow.
And you remember what depression is like,
absolutely
remember, right?
When I have flashbacks, and what's interesting is mine is also in the cold.
Yeah, right?
Mine reminds, because it was at Michigan, so it's like I have those, when it gets cold, I guess remind me of that time.
Yeah.
But it's hard to even to have a flashback is hard.
Yeah.
So that's tough. And it's really, really, really brave because she's supposed to be this cool chick who has the best life, best family. She's always on Twitter and Instagram. And she's like, I do not have, this has been a terrible, terrible time for me. So props for her to give that out because, you know, social media, you always think people are winning all the time, you know. And she was like, this has happened.
That's true, you know. And I think it's important to talk about this.
I do, too.
Because like I said,
you
know, who do you talk to about? Who do you talk to about this if you're afraid?
That's right. And now a girl can say, well, Chrissy Teigen, I can obviously now ask my doctor about it. This probably saved a lot of, I mean, it really helped a lot of women. She just opened up a lot of doors for people. And she's a really big role model right now, so good for her.
And it is tragic when you get depressed after you have a baby, but I think it's pretty normal. I mean, I can see.
Well, they have the baby blues.
Feel it that way, yeah.
They have the baby blues, they say, and it's very normal because hormones also change rapidly, so that's sort of normal. But they say if you are starting to experience real pain, like she said her wrist was like immobilized and her back was, and you don't eat, that's a really important thing. You stop any entrance in your appetite, you should get checked out for postpartum because it can be a much more intense situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So good for her.
Yeah.
Teigen.
There you go. Well, we're totally out of time with a lot more to say, so that means we're going to be back here tomorrow with you guys. Thank you, Tori.
Anytime.
As always, thanks, everybody. And take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.